are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
So my name's Tom and I am in year 8 and I go to the front line. I love music. I love to listen to music. I like to play music and I like to sing along to music even if it doesn't sound that great. I can listen to a sermon in church and afterwards my mum will ask me what I got out of it and I come up with nothing. But the song that played in worship is still rattling around my head. One day in the holidays, my mum and I had just finished walking up the side of Mount Dandenong and we had been talking about what I could talk about tonight. We had some good ideas and I had what I thought was a pretty clear vision of where I wanted to go. And then we got into the car and this song started playing. It was Still Rolling Stones by Lauren Daigle. Me and my mum continued to discuss what I would talk about, and as we talked, she told me to take inspiration from the things I was comfortable talking about. I was listening to the lyrics of the song and I decided to... Sorry, puberty. So anyway, I was listening to the lyrics of the song and I decided to change what I was going to speak about and I was going to base it off this song. The first part of the first verse says, "Out of the shadows, bound for the gallows, a dead man walking till love came calling. Rise up, rise up." It talks about how without God, we were bound for death. We were alive, but we weren't living the life God wanted for us. We were wandering around, lost and without purpose. And then his love came and saved us. It continues to say, 6 feet under, thought it was over, and answered the prayer, the voice of a saviour, rise up, rise up. It talks about how the end seemed inevitable, like there was no hope, and then he came when we needed him, when we were at our lowest, and he rescued us. I think it is important to think about the repeated lyric, rise up. He tells us to rise up. We have responsibility. We need to act. We need to respond. We can't just ask him to help us and expect him to do everything. That's not how it works. This leads into the chorus. All at once, I came alive. This beating heart, these open eyes. The grave let go, the darkness should have known. You're still rolling stones. Here it says, he gave us life. He rolled the stone away, defying what should have been our destiny, death, and opened the way for us to come to him. Then it talks about rolling stones. It's talking about the fact that he continually rolls away the... the stone that kept us in the grave. We couldn't move it by ourselves. We couldn't get it to budge. We were stuck, hopeless, unable to break free until he came and rolled the stone away and gave us a way out, giving us new life in him. The next verse talks about a song of revival and how we were blinded, but now we can see how his power saved us. It talks about us transitioning from our lives without him to our lives after he rolls the stone away, from when we were blinded by worldly things to us being close to him. It leads into the bridge where it says, I thought that I was too far gone for everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name, you called my name. I think often we can think exactly what it says here, that we are too far gone. We can feel like we have done too much wrong for God to love us and that we've essentially dug our grave and can't come back. But God calls us back and rolls away the stone. It repeats the chorus again, but it repeats the last line, you're still rolling stones, over and over. And it doesn't just say that he rolled away the stone, like something that is in the past and has no relevance today. It says that he is still rolling stones today and every day. Sometimes we can be tied down by sin in our lives and are effectively living in the grave, being held back from the potential that God has for us. But God can roll the stone away so that we can walk out of the grave and rise up with him. It doesn't matter where you are, how hopeless you feel your situation is, how far we feel we are from him, God will always roll away the stone and help us come back to him. He won't let anything stand between us and him. These elements that we've got can remind us of when Jesus died on the cross and then broke the power of death, rolling away the stone, and he can do the same for us. As you take communion, I encourage you to think about the aspects of your life where maybe you feel like you can't change, or it's too hard or hopeless. just remember that God is still rolling stones and that he can roll away these problems that we feel are separating us from him. And we can't seem to move. But let's also make sure to remember that we need to follow his call to rise up and follow him, and that we can't just expect him to do everything for us. Let's take communion together. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this cup and biscuit we have taken. I thank you that we can remember your power and the fact that you can roll away the stones that keep us away from you. Help us to rise up and follow you. Amen. If you could pass the cups to the end of the row, that would be great. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom. Great job. It's great to hear from our youth and such depth in their knowledge as well, such depth in what they're saying. And to hear that coming from Tom, such a mature young man of God. And we love you, Tom. It's good to have you on board. Let's give Tom another hand. Great. We've got a quick video to sum up term two that we had at Frontline. So if you'd like to turn your attention to the screens and see what we got up to this term. Wonderful. There's just a little snapshot of what we got onto. In case you're wondering what those things were about, we had our relationship series, so we like to do a few funny things. So if you were looking for some pickup lines, anyone that's single out there, there's a few you can go for as well. And we had a fantastic term, and I'm not going to talk too much about it because we have a few people to share this evening, but God is moving in our youth, and that's all I need to say. It is incredible to watch and incredible to be a part of. So let's welcome Marcus up to the stage. Let's hear from him tonight. So let's welcome Marcus, who's going to give us a testimony.
Hi, I'm Marcus and I'm in year 10 this year at Oxley. At the encounter service in March, I was kneeling at the cross praying that God would open my heart. I thought about the verse, "I stand at the door and knock." A few minutes later, Linda went up on stage and said that the song "Touch of Heaven," which we also sang tonight, made her think of the same verse. All I was thinking was, wow, I'm so cool. I thought of the same thing as Linda. Then Daniel went on stage and said that he thought of the same verse and said how amazing it is when God confirms things. God had tried to tell me that verse was for me, and I had thought about myself. Because I thought about myself, God sent another message from Daniel, which made me realize that it was from God. As I was sitting at the cross, I had a vision of God leaning down and hugging me and saying that I am worthy. I'm always thinking about myself, and when I'm not, I'm thinking about how unworthy I am. But because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross I was kneeling under, God could hug me and say that I am worthy. The devil may say that you or I are not worthy, but because of Jesus' sacrifice, God can say that we are all worthy. Thanks.
Thanks, Marcus. We're going to hear from Savannah now, who's got him coming up. So let's welcome Savannah as she gives us her testimony.
Hello, everyone. Frontline for me is something to look forward to all week. The first real taste of what Frontline was like for me was on Frontline Camp. It was amazing. The worship was so heartfelt and powerful. I had never experienced anything like it. The activities were heaps of fun, and the pool wasn't too cold. I was really excited to start youth after camp, but unfortunately, I had to wait a month or so until it started. I've definitely grown in my relationship with God while going to youth. I've learned to trust him a lot more, and I now know a lot more scriptures that I didn't know before to help me. Ones that encourage me to do what Jesus would do in a situation, and ones that tell me what Jesus would do in a situation. At times, I've personally struggled with breaking out of a negative mindset, getting rid of negative thoughts, and just getting in control of my mind in general. Mum and Dad, they've really helped me by giving me Bible scriptures. And prayer at youth also helped me focus on God, his joy, and his plans for me. So now, whenever I have a negative thought, I can catch it and stop it before it goes any further. And what I usually say is from 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. I love that Bible verses aren't just another sentence. They actually have meaning, and they can help change your life. You just need to be open for God to speak through them to you. So when I was in grade 3 or 4, I had just recently received my Bible as a birthday gift from my parents. I was in wildlife in small groups. At the side of my Bible, it said it has, what is it? It's 1 Timothy 4 verse 7, which says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your faith, your love, and your purity." I love that verse because it really never really occurred to me that I can actually make a difference while I'm still young. I always thought that I'd have to wait until I'm older so I can go to Uganda with the work party or something. But just by loving others and having strong faith and being me, I can actually make a difference. So I decided to share that verse with my small group. Unfortunately, I read it wrong. I said, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, your faith, your love, and your puberty." No one told me that I had made a mistake until I got into the car and told my family what I had said, because I was so proud of myself for speaking in front of my small group. Little did I know that when I'm older, I'd be talking in front of the entire church. Frontline really encourages me to live out that verse in my daily life. The Bible version, not my version. Youth really is a godly place. Everything we are taught is carefully researched to see if it is in line with what the Bible and God says. And it always has scriptures to back it up. I always knew that Jesus loves me. My parents used to sing it to me at bedtime every single night. But it wasn't until youth that the message really sank in. Being at youth has really opened my eyes spiritually. I've seen God in so many different perspectives, but never really grasped them until Frontline. All the leaders are so full of wisdom. They're ready to answer any questions about anything. Recently, I asked Nick a question about something that I had read in the Bible and was very confused about. I was expecting her to just try and answer it straight up. But she said that she'd research it, see what the Bible says, and pray about it, and then come back to me. I don't know about you, but that sounds like an awful lot of research and effort and time that she could be using to do other things. But she put the time aside to answer my question. The leaders aren't there because they have to be, or it's expected of them, they're forced to be there. They're there because they want to be, and they care about us frontliners. And that's just one example. All the leaders have such strong faith. I know that I am truly blessed to have such an amazing youth ministry to spend time with God in and to learn more about him. So thank you to everyone who is involved in youth, is a leader in youth, and who go to youth. It wouldn't be what it is without you. Thank you.
What wonderful testimonies we've heard from just a couple of our youth, and I know there's so many more stories out there. So great words. Thank you to Marcus. Thank you to Savannah. Thank you to all our leaders and for all the youth for being a part of it, and for you as parents and for stewards of our youth group as well. Thank you for your prayers and your concerns as well. We're going to hear now from one of our favourite leaders. She is studying to be a doctor, and she's our nurse on summer camp, and we actually get lines of people lining up, not because they're injured, I think just because they think she's so lovely and they want to be cared for by Linda. So let's welcome Linda up as she shares the message tonight.
Thanks, Matt. Band-Aids do wonders, I can tell you that. First of all, well done to all the youth that spoke. And Savannah, wherever you're sitting, I can say that for us as leaders, as much as our youth feel blessed, it's so much more of a blessing for us to be the ones who are there inputting into these kids' lives. So, let's pray and we'll get into it. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to bring your word. I pray for your hand upon tonight. I pray for your direction upon tonight. I pray that you would just speak clearly to us and that we'll have ears to hear. Hear you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's jump in. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 3 if you've got them, or your phone or whatever else. I'm old school. I use my Bible, real one. Okay, I swear I turned this on. Yay, there we go. So, I'm talking on Samuel tonight. For those of you who don't know the story, Samuel was a boy who had been very much prayed for by his mum, by Hannah. She wasn't able to have children, so she went to the temple and prayed to God and then promised to dedicate Samuel back to God to serve in his temple. So here we see Samuel's a little boy. He's serving under Eli, the priest, basically training to become a priest. And eventually he becomes one of the greatest Old Testament prophets that we know. So I'm just going to read from the beginning. You can follow along. Starting at verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So Samuel went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And then the Lord goes on to speak to Samuel, gives him a prophetic vision. And then we see in verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. So, my title tonight is the 29th Jesus Is, as I understand. Jesus is speaking, are you listening? Now, listening is something we talk a lot about church, listening to God's voice, taking the time out to read our Bible and listen to his word. For me, whenever I hear the word listen, I associate it with this. Has anyone ever seen this one? It's a little meme of a little boy who's gotten in trouble because he's stolen the last cupcake. And his mum's telling him off, and him, being a very diplomatic young man, is standing there going, "Linda, Linda, Linda, listen, listen, listen to my side of the story. Listen, listen, I didn't steal the last cupcake." Except that he's not really listening to his mum because she's trying to tell him what he did wrong and that he needs to fix the error of his ways. But why is listening so important? Why do we talk about it so much at church? Why do we get told that we need to listen to God? First of all, God wants to speak to us. Then the Lord spoke to Samuel. We can see it in verse 4. God wants to speak to us. How often do we actually spend time in prayer just talking at God? Think about it. We have our wants, we have our needs, we have our desires, we have our issues, and so when we put some time aside for prayer, we just talk at God, and we don't actually leave him any time to speak back to us. But a conversation, by the nature of being a conversation, actually requires listening and talking from both sides of the party. Number two, why do we listen? We listen to get to know God personally and to become closer to him. John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you." Eternal life, life with God, relationship with God is about getting to know him. And one of the only ways we can do that and learn about his characteristics is by listening to him. Thirdly, we listen to God to follow his will. Through listening, we can seek guidance and direction, and God promises, as we can see, that he will instruct us and he will teach us in the way that we should go. And we also listen to God for answers. So all of those needs and issues and wants, God wants to hear them, but then he wants us to present them, to lay them at his feet, and to wait so that we wait to hear the answer from him. And he promises that when we do call to him, or when we do talk to him, he will answer us. That's a promise of God. So it's very easy to listen to someone when, you know, they're in front of you. So, you know, you're talking to your friend and they're on the phone and you're chatting away, having a good time, and then you're able to listen to them, and then you can see your mum in front of you and she's telling you to get off the phone and go and clean your room. It's easy to listen to her too because you can see her. But we can't see God, which makes it a little bit more difficult to listen to him because we can't perceive him in our now. So how do we listen to God? And I think that there's a few really good points in this passage that we can use. Number one, position. So to position is to put or to arrange something in a certain way or place. It's where you might place something or where you might put yourself. So if your Bibles are still open, have a look at verse 3. Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the Ark of God was. In the Old Testament, the Ark of God symbolizes the presence of God. So Samuel, we can see clearly, has positioned himself in the house of the Lord near the Ark, near the presence of God. To listen to God, we need to position ourselves in his presence and seek him wholeheartedly. Except that position is a verb, which, as we all learnt in primary school, is a doing word, if anyone remembers that. And that requires action. That requires us to do something. So in order to actually position ourselves in God's presence, we have to actively pursue that time, whether that's at home with your Bible or whether that's actually making the time to get out of bed and wake up and come to church or youth. It's important that we actually make the effort to do that. Psalm 42 verse 2 says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with him?" God wants us to meet with him, and the Bible encourages us to position ourselves in God's presence, especially we can see in the Psalms, consistently talking about us seeking God, seek his face, seek his voice, seek his presence. So to listen to God, we need to seek him wholeheartedly, position ourselves in his presence and seek him. Number two, posture. Now, I do promise position and posture are two different things. When I first had the two words, thought about them, I was like, they kind of seem like the same thing. But dictionary says they're different. So position, as we heard, was where you place yourself. Your posture is an approach or an attitude. So if you look in verse 4 and 5, you can see, "Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.'" So Samuel's attitude, or the posture of his heart, the attitude of his heart, was one of willingness. He said, "Here I am." In the Message version, it says, "Speak, I'm your servant, I'm ready to listen." That attitude of willingness, attitude of readiness, attitude of eagerness to listen is something that is part of a posture towards God. Number two, he ran to Eli. When you're excited about something, you run, right? You don't just like amble along the stage, you run. He ran to Eli. His attitude of his heart was completely committed. He wanted to respond to that call. Kind of put this into perspective. We see that the lamp was not yet out. When you read that verse, I didn't really know what this means until I looked into it, but apparently the lamp in the temple was something that would burn through the night and then dim just before morning. So this one wasn't quite out, which means that it's really early morning. Like, we're talking dark, cold, probably before the sun comes out. Shouldn't be awake, right? And yet, Samuel gets up. Now, I'm not a morning person. This is me in the morning. 100%, I do not function before the sun comes out. It should be illegal to get up before that time. And in the morning, I get up early for uni, sadly. And I sort of like shuffle my way into the kitchen. And Dad's in there normally because he leaves really early and he's got the light on and he's doing this and getting his breakfast, or someone's getting a cup of tea. And I'm sitting there trying to like blindly feel my way around because I don't want to burn my eyeballs because they should be asleep. But Samuel's not like that. Samuel just gets up and he runs. He doesn't care that it's early and he should be in bed and he should be cozy, but he just gets up. He jumps up and he doesn't He wants to do whatever is required of him. 1 Peter 4 verse 2 in the Message version, I don't have it up there, but it talks about no longer living our life for human desires, but living for the will and the purpose of God. Samuel was ready to do the will of whoever had called him. In that case, it was Eli. Later on, it was God. There we go. So to listen to God, you need to check the posture of your heart. What's your attitude? You need to have an attitude that's ready and willing to hear God's voice. And then you need to be ready and willing to respond. Sneak peek of the next one, peace. So have a look at Samuel's environment around him. It's, as we discussed, early morning, which means that normal people aren't awake. So it's quiet, right? There's solitude. There's no one else in the temple at this time of the day. Samuel's in a totally peaceful environment. How often do we find ourselves in peaceful environments? Not that often. If you think about it, your daily life, you've got the chatter going on, as I talked about. People are in the kitchen. People are cooking. They're cleaning, if they're meant to be doing the dishwasher, Kayla. But there's lots going on. We've got voices talking at us. We've got study to do. We've got work to do. Sometimes we feel a little bit like this. There's just noises going inside. And you want to know what? Sometimes the loudest noise that we hear is our own. That's the one that we constantly hear banging against our head like those pots and pans. Along with the craziness of this world, it's hard to find moments of pause and to find moments of peace. But to listen to God, we need to find a moment of peace so that you can hear that still small voice amongst all the distractions. The Bible tells us that we need to be still and have no distractions so that we can meditate on God's goodness. And in Mark 1:35, we read about Jesus. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus positioned himself in the place of peace that was quiet. And what a better example for us than to see someone like Jesus who sought the time and sought the peace in order to listen to God. So what have we got so far? We've got position. Where do we position ourselves? We've got posture of our heart. We've got peace. The next key to listening that we can see in Samuel is patience. Eli realizes that it's God calling Samuel, right? And he tells him to go and lie down. Now, if I knew that God was going to talk to me, I'd kind of be jumping up and down and a little bit excited and being like, okay, God, I'm ready now. Samuel doesn't do that. He just obediently goes, lies down, waits to hear what God is going to say. And how often do we get impatient? How often do we schedule God into a little time of our day and be like, all right, God, here's your time. You can speak now. I'm ready. And we don't hear him sometimes. Or sometimes we do. And then sometimes we've set that time aside and we get impatient. And we're like, okay, God, you're not speaking. Obviously, I'm going to go do something else. But we don't actually allow the time and the patience to sit. So to listen to God, we need to be patient. We need to rest until he speaks, which may not be straight away. And we can see in Lamentations that it talks about waiting for God, waiting, being the one that seeks God and waiting quietly for him. Next one is practice. Samuel is persistent in his waiting and response. He gets up 3 times. We've already discussed this. Early in the morning, getting up before the sun. Not a good thing. Yet he does it 3 times and he doesn't give up. He's ready to obey and he's ready to serve every single time. He isn't discouraged from making mistakes each time. Eli says, Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. But Samuel doesn't get discouraged by that. He keeps going. He keeps practicing. He keeps persisting. Do we get discouraged? If we do wait for God and we don't hear from him, do we just give up? Do we just sit? Or do we, like Samuel, and every single time we get up and we're ready? To listen to God, we need to practice and take time. And only then are we going to actually know his voice and recognize it. Psalm 3, verse 6 in the Message says that we need to listen for God's voice in everything we do and everywhere we go. We need to practice, and that means whether you're getting up and getting ready for work, whether you're at church, whether you're in the car, whatever you're doing, we need to be practicing listening to God. It doesn't matter where we are. So we've got position, posture, peace, patience, practice, lots of peace. And the last one we have is purpose that we can see in Samuel. Have a look at verse 10. Samuel says, here I am, speak for your servant is listening. Samuel identifies himself as God's servant. He identifies himself as under God's authority. He highlights his willingness to submit his life to God's will and to God's purpose. And then we see later on, as we read before, in verse 19 to 21, it talks about the Lord being with Samuel as he grows up. The Lord doesn't let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And God ended up using Samuel in a really mighty way as one of the Old Testament prophets. Because Samuel listened, because Samuel positioned himself in God's presence, the posture of Samuel's heart was willing. He was in a moment of peace. He was patient in waiting to hear God, and he was persistent in practicing his hearing. Because he listened, God spoke through him and developed him, and he lived out his purpose and his plan, and he lived out his anointing as the priest for Israel. So listening to God allows us to grow into and to fulfill the purpose that God intended. So Jesus is speaking. Are you listening? What is Jesus speaking or saying to you? Have you set aside the time to listen? Try and follow Samuel's example this week. Put it into practice. Position yourself in God's presence. Be active about that. Let the posture of your heart be willing to listen and be willing to respond. Find a moment of peace. Get yourself out of all the distractions and busyness of life. Be patient in waiting to hear from God. Be persistent in practicing your listening. Don't just do it once. God speaks all the time. And one last verse, Luke 11:28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. As you listen and he speaks, obey, and God will grow you in his purpose like he did grow Samuel. Bit of a challenging one. I think I have one last P for you, and that's pizza, because I think we're about to move on to our youth service and youth supper afterwards. So thanks everyone for coming tonight. I hope the messages here have challenged you. Thanks to the youth who spoke. You bless us so much. Thanks, guys, for coming. Have a great night, great week. See ya.